Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to After Dark. I'm Maddie.
And I'm Anthony.
And this week we are hopping across the sea to Ireland for St. Patrick. And we are joined on this voyage by comedian and podcaster Alison Spittle. Alison, welcome.
Hello. I'm so excited
to
be here.
We're so happy to have you.
And if you can't see Alison, she's wearing green. And now I feel like I've let the side down because I'm in this canary yellow.
Yeah, obviously I'm more Irish than you. That's what happens.
The competition has begun.
Do you remember when, well, we'll get into some of this because we're going to, Alice and I are going to tell you the story of St. Patrick as we learned it when we were kids growing up. But the routine of preparing for St. Patrick's Day in an Irish household, like I always remember that morning of like getting your shamrocks on and finding the green thing that you didn't even know was in the back of the cupboard kind of a thing. It was just putting it together basically. It was quite exciting.
Oh, it was amazing. And what happened for the rest of the day, you might go into your local town and look at the local man who owns a Bentley and he'll drive down in a parade. There's loads of fake beards, there's loads of tractors.
Hats,
yes.
That's galore.
Hats, yeah.
Tractors, yeah.
There's, but tractors were a big thing. I'm from rural Ireland.
Oh, me too.
Oh, really? Yeah. So, in Dublin, they have the really good parade for the Yanks where they have like river dance and stuff like that. Yeah. That means there's a bit of a brain drain on the rest of the country. We kind of get the dregs.
So we get tractors.
Yeah, we get tractors for parades. Yeah.
So, sometimes there's a bit of cross-dressing that goes on in that parade. We have...
Definitely. There's always two lads in the town that
let with balloons.
Them,
yeah. Balloons up the top. Nice. Doesn't really feed into St. Patrick in any way, shape or form.
No,
like
it's an excuse to do it, right?
Yeah, but like they love a parade, so why not do it? And we will find out that the Irish did not invent that parade, but we'll get into that a little bit later on. Right, Alison.
Yes.
Let's tell people the primary school version of St. Patrick that we learn as kids when we're growing up in Ireland and how we're sold St. Patrick as kids. So we learn that we are in a desolate, I think, west of Ireland landscape. And Patrick has been brought to Ireland as a slave, possibly from Wales. And can you remember what his job was?
Shepherd.
Yes.
Wasn't he a shepherd?
Yeah. Sheep man.
He was just, you know, laying back, doing his job, and he got kidnapped and brought to Ireland.
But he was a shepherd in Ireland, but I think he was rich when he was from Britain.
What?
Yeah, he's a Nepo baby.
Oh, wow.
St. Patrick is a Nepo
Cancelled.
Baby.
Cancelled. I don't like this guy now.
Yeah, no, rich, like proper rich. But
this
then,
is like when you find out your favourite pop star went to private school.
Well, that's all of them.
I know.
That's everyone. So, But so he comes and then he finds himself on the side of a mountain in Ireland, right? Mm-hmm. Sheep. Thing for like 7 years. I feel like.
Has he brought the sheep with him?
No. The sheep are there.
Okay.
Why would he bring the sheep?
You said he was from Wales and he was a shepherd.
Wow. Sorry, Wales.
You said he was a shepherd. I thought he'd brought the sheep with him.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No.
He was kidnapped. He's been brought as a slave.
Yeah.
And now he's a shepherd.
So, anyway, we're on the side of the mountain. Well, not a mountain. We're on the side of some rural landscape in the west of Ireland with sheep. And he's fasting. I didn't always remember this, but he fasts for 40 days, I think. So St. Patrick is fasting for 40 days and he's having all these trippy visions and he's having a lovely time.
Very biblical.
Very biblical.
You must have watched Diary of a CEO. I feel like that's real. Fasting for 40 days before he dies.
I've never heard of it. I don't know what you're talking about. And then possibly the most famous element of which I'll throw to you, Alison, of what St. Patrick does next, which I think everybody knows about, right? In the banishment.
The banishment of the ha. Will I say it?
You go say it, yeah.
Snakes. He got those snakes out of Ireland. We had a big snake problem. And he was like, nah, man, and got him out.
Okay. The image you have right now in your head of St. Patrick banishing the snake, what is he wearing? What does it look like?
Oh, he's got a big hat on. Yeah. Like a big napkin kind of hat.
Yeah, like a bishop-y hat.
Bishop-y hat. A lovely kind of red beard, I would say. Sure. Red greyish.
Yeah.
Some sort of tunic.
Yeah.
Tunic-y lad. Yeah. And a big staff.
But like
big
it's staff. a green religious tunic, heat. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And a big old gold staff.
Big staff.
This man is a shepherd. So that's made up.
Mm-hmm.
And he banishes the snakes and then Ireland is...
Christian.
Essentially. Yeah. So that... Am I missing anything?
And he did the whole shamrock thing.
Oh yeah, go on. You did that, yeah.
He would teach Christianity by showing a shamrock and saying... This is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
But that was it.
So that's the Patrick that we grow up with, right?
Yes.
That's the kind of...
That's the version you're taught in school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The myth. Why the snakes?
I've no idea. Is it like a euphemism for, like, you know, the way Taylor Swift has a load of songs about snakes?
Definitely got to do with Taylor Swift.
Selena Gomez.
He's in his Reputation era.
Yeah. He was in his Reputation era. Yeah. He's like, are you ready for it? Bam. Like, all the snakes are gone.
Ireland, St. Patrick's version.
Nice. And they never really said, like, what was the actual problem of having all those snakes?
Yeah.
Like, Australia has quite a lot of snakes.
Mm. And they're still okay.
They're still fine.
Thinking about how the story's biblical, is it meant to be like banishing the snake from the Garden of Eden,
I think there's that
temptation
there.
The devil.
Ireland was so pagan, and a lot of the stuff that like Christianity took on within Ireland was actually kind of based on a lot of pagan stuff. That's probably what you're gonna but I come from a part of Ireland. It's the ancient center point of Ireland. The goddess Eru is buried there, even though, like, you know, goddesses aren't buried, but it's named after Ireland is named after that goddess. I grew up Catholic, but I grew up with a lot of like pagan-y stuff. So like St. Bridget Wells and St. Patrick Wells are like wells that are holy, but back in the day when you were pagan, it was kind of like a healing well.
Holy spring.
Yeah. It's and Sheena the gigs and stuff. Have you heard of those?
I haven't even heard of those.
So, all right. Well, I don't know how I can describe this in a not safe for work fashion, but Sheena the gigs are like really rude statues. And you find it sometimes in Brittany in France, but it's on Cornwall and Ireland. And it's basically a lady pulling apart a very large part of her anatomy. Like cartoonishly big.
Yes,
kind of laughing.
Oh, I don't know this at all.
Yeah, so it's quite like, that's quite a pagan-y thing. The idea of women and their body parts and stuff being part of life is quite pagan-y.
Yeah. And then, of course, Christianity gets rid of
Catholicism really stamps that out.
Yeah. Women are to blame.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Snakes, the Garden of Eden.
Yeah, exactly.
So what I would like to do now that we've established that mythological version.
Yes.
Maddie, you have a picture there which I'd love to share with Alison.
Is it Sheena the gig?
Yes.
Where to begin?
And this is the earliest depiction of St. Patrick that we have.
Wow.
And I'd love you to have a look and describe him now based on what you can see and what we've been told.
Patrick is like the red halo guy and he's gone up to this king. This king does not look happy.
No.
Patrick looks a bit like he's come out of a toilet and is not able to flush it because he's blaming someone else. Do you know what I mean? He's kind of like, it's not me. And he's got a staff and they're both not wearing shoes.
Uh-huh.
Patrick looks quite humble and the king looks really, really ticked off.
Well, you said
about
the shoes.
Yeah.
This is entirely relevant.
Where
is Patrick's staff?
Patrick,
the absolute chancellor.
Patrick's after poking the king.
He is. He's put the staff through the
foot of your man.
Yeah. So this is the earliest depiction of Patrick. And it's
wow.
He asks the king in this story, why he doesn't cry out when he puts the staff through his foot.
Is this the king of Ireland, of a region of Ireland? Is this a mythological fake king?
Yeah, it's a mythological
fake king. Okay.
But it is Irish related because it's a nondescript Irish king because Ireland had a lot of different kings in different areas. It's representative of all of those. And he asked the king why he didn't cry out when the staff went through his leg. And the king said it's because of his now new Christian forbearance. So he can suffer now because he's a Christian and he the pain is irrelevant because, right? Doesn't this tell you?
Oh my God.
Doesn't this set the tone for Ireland over the next X amount of centuries?
Really, that we're trying to sell it to people as well. Don't worry, you won't feel anything when you suffer. How about not suffering?
Yes. Yeah. There is another option that doesn't involve a wood through the foot.
Oh my God.
You know what I mean? So it's like, this was the thing. He had brought this idea of deliverance, I guess, in a way. Like, I know that's a bit more modern a concept, but he had delivered the Irish people in this depiction from ignorance, from their pagan beliefs, as you have said. Now, the reality is he hadn't at all. The conversion rate was not that quick in St. Patrick's time. But
when was St. Patrick's time?
So we're talking about the 4th century, and then the legend starts to come around in the 5th century.
And it is, by that point, has there been more Christianization?
Yeah.
Okay.
By the 5th century, it's really starting to take off more popularly. In Patrick's lifetime, it's not as popular as we're led to. Christianity doesn't take hold as much as we're led to believe in the kind of myth-making that he has.
Yeah.
But one of the interesting things about Patrick in this depiction, and there's a really, really practical reason for this, is he's dressed in blue. And not green at all. Green is not associated with him. It's kind of like the Coke thing later where Coke, you know, makes Santa red. That's not true either. But that myth that comes up. We have made Patrick red because the green was, it suits us better to do so. But in the early depictions, blue is just one of the most easily accessible colors, blue and red.
I was going to say.
And so blue becomes his color. And if you think about it, the early flag of Ireland was blue.
Wow.
So it was blue and gold with the gold harp on. And so that blueness is really associated with Ireland and St. Patrick way prior to greenness.
When
so
does he turn green?
I don't know That's exactly when point. He does. Yeah, I mean, definitely by the 19th century, he's green.
When does the Irish flag turn green?
The representation of greenness and Irishness comes in the 17th century. You're looking at flags for battle. It's not a national flag at that particular time. Green badges or pieces of ribbon were worn for St. Patrick's Day from 1680. Now, obviously, that doesn't take over as the national flag at that point, but certainly greenness and Irish Catholicism.
Yeah, it's so, the Catholicism, I keep forgetting. It's
But also, it's easy to forget now because we have so unburdened ourselves, or certain generations have, of that institution. And I'm not, you know, for some people of different generations it was a useful in some ways institution, but for us, I don't want to speak for everybody of our general generation, it's very much been a break away from that, I think, that we've tried to cultivate. Again, don't want to speak for everybody, but you know, most people.
I could speak for me.
Yeah.
I can only speak for me.
Yeah.
But St. Patrick is still a thing that I would like celebrate.
Yeah.
Because I look at it as a, because it is soft power of Ireland. Ireland's such a small country that it feels like that's too important a power to let go of.
He's a cultural export. You know?
Yeah, definitely.
Speaking of which, there is drama in Ireland about who goes where on St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Can you fill me in on this? Because I'm not 100% keeping up with this. But together we can probably paste it together.
Well, you know the way Ireland doesn't really, it doesn't have like a first past the post voting system. So like at the moment we have two parties that were involved in a civil war against each other and would never be together.
Yeah.
But now are very much together. Their policies are very similar. But they have like rotating Taoiseachs, which are like prime ministers. That kind of they tag in and tag out with each other. So there's kind of really kind of two leaders of the government. And the top prize for any Irish politician is to give the shamrocks to the American president. And it's quite an important relationship between, like, American presidents, if they're coming up for a re-election, they'll come to Ireland.
Mm. Oh, they make such a big deal of the Irish heritage.
Yeah. I know like a second cousin of Joe Biden.
You do?
Yeah. I used to work with her.
In Ireland.
Stop. And she went to the White House. And did she? She's really in with Joe.
Poor old Scotland got Trump, of course.
And when Barack Obama came to Ireland, we named the petrol station.
We did?
No.
And there's a big, huge cutout of him and Michelle, I think.
Yes, him and
Still
Michelle.
There. Yeah.
Still there.
Oh,
are they like
go,
serving the petrol? Are
no,
they like welcoming like, you in?
What? There's like a small museum dedicated to Barack Obama, and you can smell the gravy coming from the carvery.
And the oil. It's just this. It's such a bizarre place. Where is it? Moneygall.
So it's fantastic. That for me is like Ireland's relationship with America down to a T. So we do have this like strong soft power. The other politicians, they go to like China now and everywhere to establish relationships. And I think we must be like one of the only countries with like a worldwide recognized special day.
Yeah.
I can't think of any others really.
Shall we see who real Patrick was then?
Yes.
So we know what the myth is and we know what's going on there, but these are the facts that we have. So he is 4th century, as I mentioned before. He is a Roman citizen on the west coast of Britain. He has no connection to Ireland whatsoever.
When you say, when you say a Roman citizen, do you mean that he is a Briton living under Roman rule, or that he is
living under Roman rule.
Okay, cool.
So he's a citizen of the Roman Empire, let's say.
Now, whether he likes it or not.
And apparently he did like it. What we know of him, he's quite happy to be British, let's say. There is discussion as to whether or not he is from Wales. We readily accept, I think, that he was Welsh.
I think it's more palatable to the Irish.
Because there's a Celtic thing there.
Yeah, the Celtic thing.
Right, that's true, actually. Yeah, I never thought of it like that. Yeah. And it's likely he was, but we can say West Coast definitely. Mm-hmm. We're not sure about the Welsh thing, but we can see there is reason to believe that he could.
If they said Liverpudlian, I think the Irish would like it too.
Yeah, that'd be fine. Okay, so there is an idea that his name isn't St. Patrick. That it will not surprise you that he did not grow up called St. Patrick. That wasn't the thing. His name, we think, although there's debate about this, was Maewen Suckett.
Oh,
Maewen Suckett.
Yeah. But here's the thing to go against that, right? His dad, and he tells us this himself, his dad was called Calpurnius.
Calpurnius.
Yeah. And his grandfather was called Poteus.
Poteus Suckett.
Maewen Suckett sounds like something you would say to someone to go away. Maewen Suckett.
Yeah. So what the theory is that Maewen Suckett is so Welsh that it doesn't make sense with the names Calpurnius and Poteus.
Because they're Roman names.
Because they're far too Roman.
Romian.
So, Romian, yeah. And then, so the theory is that it doesn't make sense that those two people or that line of people would call their child Maewen. I don't know enough about this period in time to comment on naming rituals, but that's the doubt over the fact that he might not have been Welsh. He is first called Maewen Suckett by St. Fiacc, who's a bishop of Leinster, in 520. So we're into the 6th century there.
So at least
a couple hundred years later.
Yeah, a few generations after he's been alive.
Yeah. So that's where that name comes from.
Did you see
from
how quickly I did maths there? And then thought I'd say
your
generations.
Yeah. 200 years. And his dad was a clergyman. Rome had adopted Christianity in the 4th century. So he's very much born into this idea of Roman Christianity. And priests were not taking vows of chastity, so they had wives. So this is how there is a line. So they are legitimate priests, but they were allowed to have children.
Are there people now who claim that they're descendants of Patrick?
Not that I'm aware of.
There'll be people somewhere, surely.
That would be a great grift.
Where's the who do you think you are episode on that? Who do you think you are producers? Get Alison Spittle on and trace her lineage back to St. Patrick. That's what we'll do that one. But he was a very privileged man, as I mentioned before, or child and later man. He was born to a family who had an estate. They had really gained an awful lot from this Roman influence in Britain. He was educated in Latin, one of the ways that we know he definitely was of an upper rank. He could read and write. We know this. We have documents that this figure has written. And then, as we say, that's his background. Fast forward, he gets kidnapped by pirates and he's brought by a farmer, purchased by a farmer in Mayo, probably, we think. So Mayo's on the west coast of Ireland. Mm. And that's where he's there with his sheep that he did not bring himself.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah.
So that's the gig between what we think we know and what the scholars around St. Patrick have found out. It then goes on to talk a little bit about this kind of colonial idea, because Rome didn't come to Ireland. The empire never came to, Roman Catholicism did, mm-hmm. but the Roman Empire never came to Ireland. So we don't have, never, there was trade, but they didn't do what they did in Britain. So mm-hmm. we don't have that infrastructure, that Roman infrastructure in Ireland. So when Patrick arrives, it's described as a heathen, savage mm-hmm. land of all these different beliefs.
Yeah, I'm really interested in the fact that he comes to Ireland as a slave who's been kidnapped, because that to me feels like absolute Christian propaganda. The idea of someone being humbled and coming from the lowliest origins in that society, that's a very Jesus-esque thing to do. I don't know if I buy that as real.
He tells us it's true. But
oh, well, then.
He will be
there
inventing. Yeah, exactly. Like, he's inventing. Is he inventing his own sainthood slightly?
Yeah.
As the kind of time wears on and he's in a position to do that.
Yeah.
But Ireland at this time is full of about, and this is no precise figure, but about 100 different factions. There could be up to 100 kings. There's a lot of warring going on for land. Mm-hmm. And this is why it's kind of described as savage. But at the same time, there's this hugely rich culture of belief systems, of pagan belief systems, of Druidism, of this Celtic stronghold that's still in Ireland, that's being eroded in Britain more generally because of the Roman Empire. And
yeah, I mean, think of like Boudicca's uprising and things in Britain. There are still regional tribes that are fighting against the Romans and resisting.
Yes.
And that continue to exist after the Romans have left. And, you know, there's warring tribes in England and warring kingdoms well into the medieval period as well, as there surely is in Ireland.
Yes, and in Ireland they're less disruptive, as I said. So like they can have that kind of stronghold there to be like, let's settle. We know what this is. We're confident in this Celticism, this Druidism, this paganism, and variations of that. By the way, there wasn't one just thing. It was a real melting pot of beliefs. Mm-hmm. But Patrick obviously is like, no, we need to streamline this.
Yeah.
And we're gonna sort it out, and you're gonna believe in one.
And we'll keep all the things that you like, but we'll just make it Christian.
Yeah. And it's going to be now very beneficial to certain higher echelons of society, where financially we will gain from this because we've commodified it, essentially. We've commodified that belief system, and what was potentially a bit more democratic in its belief system becomes layered and tiered. So,
well, it's about controlling access to God, really, isn't it? That you have to go to church. What you hear in church is in Latin, a language you can't read, that you don't understand, that you have to have a priest in order to commune with God in a way that the pagans don't. So it's interesting to me about Bridget and Patrick, that the way that they explain their Christianity is through things in the landscape. And I wonder if that's a hangover from paganism and having that relationship with the land and that spirituality that is co-opted by the Christians, who are taking that relationship between ordinary folk and the land away, but they're also using it to explain it, because I suppose those are the terms people would understand it in as well.
Yeah, I think the whole idea of holy water to me feels like a pagan hangover.
It must be.
My mum will no longer go to church on a Sunday, but she does have a bottle of holy water.
Mm.
And it's more of a kind of like emergency bottle of Dettol. Do you
know
what I mean?
Yeah.
Just to have just to in case of emergency.
Yeah.
And it's just, and that to me feels very pagan. It feels very like, it feels like crystals. Like my generation, I've left Catholicism behind, but I get crystals for my birthday, or people put crystals under a moon.
Mom.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So he did his little stint in Mayo for 7 years, and he then went back to Britain, got back to Britain, where he trained properly to become a priest because he was constantly hearing the word of God and he was constantly hearing what he should be doing. And when he was trained and when he was training in Britain, we don't know where,
okay,
we don't know how long it took,
yeah,
but he's back at home. He was constantly hearing the voice of Ireland in his head saying, come back and civilize us. We don't know what we're doing with ourselves.
Tame us, Patrick.
Put us in our place.
Yeah.
This has taken a turn.
So off he goes back to Ireland to put us in our place. And he's known as the Holy Boy.
The Holy Boy.
Now, he says that about himself, though. I'm the holy. Hello, well, I'm the holy boy, and I'm here to sort this
that
out.
That is giving me the ick.
It's creepy, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, absolutely not.
And he sends a letter that says, or he gets a letter in his dreams that says, the Irish need you.
Oh my.
Yeah. And he's saying this himself now. So, you know, like, he's got a bit of a
complex.
That's the word. Yes. Thank you, Alison. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The savior complex. Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So he's coming back to sort us out.
And was he, like, there's loads of churches that claim that, like, mm-hmm, Patrick. There's a lot of it's quite franchised. Yeah. Patrick was like Subway sandwiches. There's a lot of him about. There's a load of churches.
There's one by my parents' house in Ireland.
Really? Oh wow.
I used to wander up there. There was one day when I was about I was older. I was probably like 10. Wandered up the hills on my own, again in the middle of nowhere. Now this is, so it's, you know, bleak times,
yeah,
but beautiful but bleak. And went up to the ruins of what is supposedly St. Patrick's Church. Mm-hmm. Couldn't have been. Time wise, it doesn't make sense, but that's what it supposedly is. And was rooting through the ruins, and when I looked up, thought I saw about, I don't know, maybe 20 red eyes underneath the trees that were around. Legged it home, nearly swore. Legged it home. And then I was like, Mom, I think I just saw loads of like devils or something. She was like, or they could have been the goats that live in that field. I was like, they were the goats. They were definitely the goats. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That makes more sense. But yeah, there's those churches everywhere. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 big time. There was I think it might have been a Protestant church. It was a ruin in my village. And there was a grave with like four big fists coming out of each corner. I think it might have been someone that was like a unionist or something, I presume,
oh,
with a fist.
Right, I see. Right.
But I thought when I was a kid, and I don't know why I thought this, but I thought it was Muhammad Ali's grave. He wasn't dead at the time. I don't feel like that, but I was like, it's obviously a boxer. And it must be Muhammad Ali, because
it's the only boxer I know.
Wait, what county are you from?
Westmead. I thought Muhammad Ali was buried in Westmead.
And before he even died, they've just prepped that for him now.
Yeah.
Because he's asked to be laid to rest in Westmead.
He wants to be laid right in the middle of Ireland.
Ireland. Oh, yeah. You're from the heart of it.
The heart of it.
Wait, isn't Bridget supposed to be from around there?
She's from Kildare.
Oh, Kildare, yeah.
But there's the St. Bridget's Well near where I live. And the goddess area was buried
there,
like one village from my village. But yeah, it's quite a little bit pagan-y.
Shall we hear some words from Patrick himself?
Oh, yeah.
This as long as he's not calling himself the holy boy.
I'm a holy boy. It's me, yeah. Patrick, a.k.a. Holy Boy, a.k.a. patron saint of Ireland.
It's like his rapper name.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's it.
Right. Here we go.
Okay.
This is from Confessions of St. Patrick. It is translated from Latin, obviously, because he didn't want the likes of us to be able to read it.
Of course.
So it says, my name is Patrick. I am a sinner, a simple country person. God love him.
Is this me?
Wait, don't get too involved just yet. And the least of all believers. So he's the least of them all. He's very lowly, very humble. I am looked down upon by many. My father was Calpurnius. He was a deacon. His father was Potius, a priest. His home was near there, and that is where I was taken prisoner. I was about 16 at the time. At that time, I did not know the true God. Now, just to interject there, some accounts say he was already Christian because his father was already a deacon. And then other accounts, including his own, and he contradicts himself at times. Other accounts say, I had no faith. No Christian faith, and then I got it because he is. So, yeah, you know, there's myth building here.
Patrick.
Yeah. He's making his own kind of thing. I was taken into captivity in Ireland along with thousands of others. We deserved this because we had gone away from God.
Back to the suffering. Okay.
Yeah,
are we going to be rounded up?
I think we. Right. What, are the pirates going, like, do you believe in
you. Get in. Yeah. Thousands of you. And did not keep his commandments. Okay, so he is saying the commandments were there, but we would not listen to our priests who advised us about how we could be saved. The Lord brought his strong anger upon us and scattered us among many nations, even to the ends of the earth. It was among foreigners that it was seen how little I was. I don't think he means diminutive. I mean, he's not like fully formed because he's not Christian.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
So he's on this little, I mean, that's a very short excerpt there from what is a relatively long tract about himself. And he's making himself seem as lowly as possible, basically.
Like humble.
As humble.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit like a...
Why is he doing that?
I think it's a little bit like a feminist hipster.
Right.
That's kind of like this kind of going, I actually read... all of this kind of thing.
Yeah, ladies, like, let me explain to you how you can be liberated.
Yeah.
I also used to be a little bit shit like you.
Yes.
And now I, look at me now.
It's interesting at the end there. At the end he says, what was the bit about, it was among foreigners that I discovered how little I am. And I wonder if that's a sort of persisting thing in Irish culture, not to discover how little you are, obviously. Before
leprechaun.
But in terms of... I mean, we've talked already about migration to other parts of the world, and like there's something about Irish culture becomes very sort of crystallized and celebrated, especially in places where Irish people have migrated to. I'm thinking particularly in America, and that there's so much fascination with and celebration of that culture. And almost on a scale that obviously St. Patrick's Day is huge in Ireland, but it's also huge in other parts of the world, maybe more in America. And I wonder, if there's just something about the Irish culture and Patrick here kind of the beginning of it in some way, of that you have to go somewhere different and be the other in order to appreciate what you have. And then it becomes like your thing even more.
You make a really good point there, because when I lived in Ireland, I wouldn't cross the road to watch an Irish band. I would just be like, they're there, that's fine.
Yes.
Now I live in London. And not only do I watch Irish bands, I buy their merch. I want them to do well, you know? So I think you are right. Mm-hmm. There is a kind of thing of having to leave your country. Like, for instance, they call it Irish street food, and it's just come to London.
Oh my God, yes.
So basically...
to think what that's going to... Oh. You want to guess?
Irish cuisine is...
I'm not going to say it.
It's okay. We're two Irish people, and we've given you permission.
We've given you full permission, I promise.
Is it potato based?
So there's an element of potato stuff. That's okay.
Yeah, you haven't. Don't worry.
Tell them what we're exporting now.
So Irish street food is basically foods that you would get in petrol stations in Ireland.
Oh my God.
So chicken fillet rolls. So that's a French baguette cut open with sliced chicken fillet, breaded chicken
fillet,
with some lettuce.
Is that a big Irish thing? Breaded
chicken and rolls. Yeah,
big thing. Curry chips, but it has to be a specific.
Oh, that's
curry
one of them,
sauce.
Right? Yes, the one out of the packet.
Yeah, the one out of the packet. It's horrible.
Yeah,
what else do we have in Ireland?
I don't know,
a little mini cardboard cutout, Obama and Michelle.
I would love that. If I was doing an Irish
petrol station,
if I was doing an Irish market street food thing, I think I would call it Obama's and put a little apostrophe. Obama street food. It would be the stuff that you would get in a petrol station. Yeah.
And then you get sued by the actual Obama.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. But TikTokers, they're going mad for it mad now for at it. The moment. There's loads of like places popping up where they're doing Irish food.
And charging a fortune for it, where it's actually just a baguette. That people have when they're hungover in Ireland, like it's. And I do you like them? I don't like them.
No, I never like them.
They're not my gig. No,
never like them. Breakfast roll is another one where they put a whole fried breakfast into a baguette. We've done so much with baguettes.
We really have. They're not our native food.
No,
we didn't know what to do with them.
We're like Vietnam. Yeah. You know, you get given baguettes and you're like, I'm making it my thing.
I don't know what this is for, so I just stick it out sausage.
That's
in it,
like
an Irish band me.
Once he arrives. He does not eat a chicken breakfast roll. He moves around preaching, as you would do. And he talks about the gospel. He converts hundreds of people. Hundreds of people isn't that many. So this is what I'm saying. You know, like we're not talking an entire nation being converted at the same time. I mean, realistically, it's probably thousands of people if you were to watch the spread of where he goes. Because we have an idea of where he travels.
But this is the very beginning of Christianity in the 4th century.
You can only ask
the Roman Empire is still obviously becoming Christianized itself, but they're still present in Britain, the Romans. Like this is early.
Yeah.
Give him a break.
Yeah.
Hundreds isn't bad.
This is like a left field question, but I just want to ask, when did St. Patrick become canonized? When did he decide that he was a saint? And to become a saint, you also have to have miracles.
We know about the snakes. That's probably the one that we know about. And
You'd
I did
think
not...
that would be enough. That's quite impressive.
No. Yeah. You need three.
Okay. Go on.
Right. He's only a third of the way there. I did not know these, so I'm going to read them to make sure I'm getting them right.
Oh, wow.
It is recorded that Patrick resurrected 33 dead people.
Okay, that's better than the snakes.
Wow.
It is, right?
That's an army.
And this is kind of crucial to the storytelling. In one of the cases, it was a daughter of the king, two daughters rather, of the king of Dublin who had died. And he said he would bring that daughter back, those daughters back to life. But he said, I'll only bring them back if you, the king, gets baptized into Christianity.
Wow.
Now, if that's not a red flag.
Wow. Yeah.
I don't know what is.
Do you like your kids?
Wow. That's a creepy sentence.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, the king.
I know the way you're judging me, but not Patrick. Like, you know, he's the one that did that.
The king kept his word anyway, and the king was baptized. But it's, you know, it's all about this, like, I'm going to Christianize this. And the Christianizing kings as well,
it's,
you know.
It's a bargain.
I'm making those inroads into power.
It's like when Scientology get a big celeb and they're like, yes. You know?
This one, I have a feeling you're gonna like this one. I'll read this as it is.
Is it higher or lower than the snakes and the resurrection?
Yeah.
I think it's gonna appeal to a different audience. I don't think we can compare them.
Okay.
One day a thief stole a goat that had belonged to Patrick. Now, look, I don't know where he got the goat from. Don't ask me details about
this. Well, he's a shepherd. He's already down with the sheep.
I don't know. But it's goat, not a sheep.
Okay.
And that's important.
I mean, is there that much difference in terms of administering
You'll see
care?
In a minute.
Oh.
Sorry, I'll be quiet.
Somebody steals the goat. They eat the goat.
Oh, no.
Because, you know, hungry.
Yeah.
Patrick finds who this person is. How does he find? How do you think he might find them? I'll tell you.
He doesn't resurrect the goat inside the person, does he?
Actually, I don't know the ins and outs, but either way, he hears the bleating of the goat from the stomach of the man.
No.
Yes. And he goes and he says, right, this is not, I'm going to perform a miracle to always mark you as having stolen this goat. And so a beard suddenly appears on the man's face, which is where they say the term goatee comes from.
No!
Drop it.
No!
Drop it. It's done. It's done.
Oh
nothing,
my.
There is
oh my.
Nothing better than that.
Oh my.
Yeah. So goatee, I mean, I have a feeling that's probably made up.
St. Patrick invented the goatee.
Told you he was a hipster.
Wow. Yes. That's there you go. Beautiful.
That's St. Patrick's. But there's not only three miracles. If you were to go back and do some Googling,
he's with the three, he's qualified.
Oh, he's qualified listen, for his this thing. Is why he got assigned to limbo, because he had so many miracles. like, we'll need to give him, we need to give him a territory.
Wow. His own. With his goatee.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my God. And isn't it a thing as well that we never did have snakes?
We never had them.
We never had
them. They were never in Ireland.
You must have like adders or something.
No, no, isn't it so?
No, no snakes. There is no evidence that there were ever any snakes in Ireland. So that's what you were saying earlier, though, about this kind of biblical thing. It's not a real thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I'm still getting my head around the fact that there are no snakes in Ireland. That's bizarre. I think there are quite a few native snakes.
Yeah, which always surprises me because I'm just like, where are they?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a snake?
I've seen an adder or a grass snake or something at least once.
Stop.
Yeah.
Where?
Well, it's in the wilderness of Britain. It's when you have dogs, walking the dogs, and you're constantly going, drop it to everything. I also, this is so random, I saw the chrysalis of a Death Watch moth. Is that what they're called? You know, from the film poster, Silence of the Lambs?
Yeah.
Well, I saw one of the worst thing I've ever seen on the planet, of anything I've ever seen. Horrendous. If you listen to this, pause and Google it because truly, wow.
How big
horror.
Are the, yeah, that's gonna
massive,
you.
Massive, massive. So, okay, so you've done the no snakes. So there are other, presumably other myths about St. Patrick that we need to bust because it seems to me that his story is full of a lot of self-important inventions, yes. Maybe.
Alison mentioned at the top of the episode about the shamrock.
Mm.
The shamrock is a much later addition to the story. It's used just allegorically. It's not
okay.
An actual part that he tells us about because he never did it.
That's amazing.
So we know there was no snakes, no shamrock.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. He didn't wear green.
Wow.
So I don't know what you're doing today.
Oh, I feel like lying. Such a fool.
So embarrassing.
Such a fool.
Mostly wore blue,
mm-hmm.
Which actually, I mind you, I like green. Green and blue are my favorite colors anyway, so that's, I'm good. I'm covered.
You're a true Irishman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he instantly recognizes an important figure. It was later, around the 7th century, where there was a movement to make him the patron saint of Ireland. And now he's regarded as such.
Because he was the patron saint of Ireland and he was the patron saint of limbo until the Pope was like, that don't exist anymore. So he's been downgraded. He's the patron saint of Ireland and a few other things.
But doesn't that make sense?
Yeah.
That Ireland, the patron saint of Ireland would be linked to limbo of all things. Like.
Talking back to the suffering and the penance. Interesting.
We love it.
But I mean, being patron saint of limbo, that seems like a big responsibility.
Also, not a desirable job.
No.
But like it's like being
very boring.
Yeah, and a bit miserable.
But a bit like being God in limbo. Do you know what I mean? Like if God's heaven and the devil's hell, Patrick's over limbo. That's like he's one of the three. Good for him.
But you wouldn't be thrilled on a Monday morning.
On a Monday morning in limbo. Any day in limbo is probably not great.
You wouldn't be thrilled to go to work, would you?
No, no.
It's a weird job.
Yeah. Does that mean he gets stuck in limbo all his life then if he has to oversee it? He can't work remotely.
I imagine if you work in limbo, it's like being the night manager in a hotel.
Yeah.
Watching football on a small
phone.
Yeah.
God, it's making me anxious. I don't like it. It's too unpleasant. So that's kind of the relationship with Patrick. I mean, we've talked about St. Patrick's Day at the start, like how we experienced St. Patrick's Day as kids, and it's kind of... It's fun, but it's not marketed and it's not marketable for us as locals. But in America, like I think Chicago dyes the river green and like it's huge. Mm. It's like the New York parade is bigger than any parade in the world.
It's absolutely huge.
Yeah.
Chicago has a big thing. There's also like colleges that they have to close down some campuses and colleges. I can't remember where in America because of St. Patrick's Day, because it's such a crazy day where people let go. And they drink like Mike's Hard Lemonade.
Yeah.
And go mad.
Yeah. It's become, I don't know, it's become such a thing of Irishness that is originally not Irish. And I mean that in so many different ways. St. Patrick is not Irish, technically. The St. Patrick's Parade is not an Irish invention.
An American invention.
Yeah.
Back to
that's
Ireland.
Coming back. That was an export because of emigration. Yeah.
And when did that come back to Ireland? In the way that, like, when did Ireland go, right, we're getting on board with this parade thing?
Well, from what I recall, the first St. Patrick's Day parade is military linked, was in America, and was celebrating the Irish in America there. And it was just a way for people to celebrate home and to remember home. But we didn't start doing it until the 20th century.
Wow.
So, like, much later. It's quite a lot later. Now, the first parades are localized, they're small, they're for groups of people that know one another. It's kind of like getting together a street party kind of a thing. That's what they looked like. Whereas now, obviously, it's a huge national and international thing, particularly in America. Do you get the impression sometimes that there's an idea of almost, I don't want to say taking the piss because it's not taking the piss, but like undercutting by turning up in our St. Patrick's Day parades where we go, here's a tractor, here's a man that has a donkey and a dog on the back of the donkey and you're just walking in parade. And it's like, we know what we're doing. It's not foolishness. Mm. It's undercutting it in a real Irish kind of way. We're not trying to turn the rivers green. We're trying to have a laugh.
Yeah, we're in on the joke.
We're in on the joke.
Yeah, I think that that's it, definitely. It's the kind of thing of like, are we performing Irishness to America when we do stuff with St. Patrick's Day? I do feel like as an Irish person, sometimes I do perform Irishness to whether it be America or English people. My dad's English.
Yeah.
And I have such a like weird relationship between England and Ireland. Like even when you were like, oh, can I guess? And then you were like, oh, I don't know if I can. And in the back of my head, I was like, say it. I know. And it's fine. You know what I mean? It's not even March makes you think about being Irish and what it is to be Irish. Mm-hmm. And we've such a long, complicated relationship with ourselves. It's so interesting. And St. Patrick's Day brings that out.
Brings it all out.
And it's a real celebration, but also thinking of it in that way of it's for people who are not in Ireland, who are Irish. Actually, for me, I don't know about you, Alison, but like I feel so much more Irish when I'm not in Ireland because it's almost the obviously it's the default in Ireland. And it's that, but actually there's so much more pride involved and there's so much more want for Irishness when
Patrick
you're not in Ireland.
Says.
Yeah.
As Patrick says, but it does link, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me this, if people want to go and celebrate St. Patrick's Day today.
Yeah.
What would you recommend they go and do?
Oh, wow. Well,
did
look
you
up,
think I was going to
say, what? Someone asked me what events were on. I was like, I don't know.
I want a full catalogue of events in everyone's area around the world. Go.
Well, I know that like there's St. Patrick's Day celebrations in Trafalgar Square. And that always makes me kind of like happy that we still have that amount of soft power. But if you want to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, what would you do?
I want the shamrocks back. I haven't had those for years.
Obviously, some Irish street food has to be
had. Chicken fillet rolls.
Chicken fillet rolls. Yeah. some curry chips, I think. Watch an Irish film. I think like The Commitments is good or The Van or... That's what I do. I do watch Irish stuff.
That's a good idea.
Listen to Sinead O'Connor.
Yes.
Oh, she's the real patron saint of Ireland to me.
Yeah, I
love her. But with like, if you look at like how small Ireland is, the actual kind of like cultural footprint we have is massive. I think that's real power. We never had like an empire or anything like that. We don't have like, I go to such beautiful cities around the world. You're looking at stuff and it's all gold and gilded. And then you're like, this is incredible. And then you think of it in the historical context. And there's a part of me of Ireland where I'm like, we don't have that.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it feels good. But that's why I had to move out of Ireland as well.
But I don't live there now.
Yeah.
Alison, just as a way out, how are you feeling about St. Patrick now that we know what we were taught and what we learned and what we've discovered here today about the kind of differences between that reality and invented reality, because he may have invented some of that reality as well.
Totally. I'm a big lapsed Catholic, but I'm culturally like Catholic. If someone brought up a saint, I'd be like, so Bridget is still my favorite.
Always was.
It's kind of confirmed to me that Patrick's always been a bit milquetoast. There's no actual, you know, apart from the snakes thing, there's no actual drama of Patrick. He's not giving.
Yeah.
He's the Ed Sheeran of snakes for me, which is like really big name recognition, done some good things, but I'm just like, I just find other people a bit more interesting that are smaller.
Bridget's definitely more interesting than St. Patrick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Like,
She's
the one.
Yeah. Oh, do you know what I would recommend actually if you want to celebrate Ireland? Come see me on tour.
Yes. Alison, where can they see you?
I have a show called Soup. It's going to be in Soho Theatre the week after St. Patrick's Day. I'm touring all around Britain. So come along, see me. I'm in Glasgow, Edinburgh, Bath. Oh, a place called Leek. Are you from Leek?
I'm from Leek.
You're not from Leek.
Are you actually?
This is so weird.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Well, it's not selling well.
Maddie,
get onto your family.
I beg you, put the word out. There's about six people in Leek. I have to take like two trains and a bus to get to Leek.
Somebody in Leek buy Alison's tickets for the love of God.
Oh, I'm financially like ruining myself by going to Leek. It is not. It's definitely a loss maker. So that's. Oh my gosh.
Well, not anymore. Maddie to the rescue.
I'm crying. Oh God. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Well,
oh.
Listen, we shall leave it there. Alison, yeah. Thank you so much for coming you. And chatting to us about St. Patrick. And yeah, book your tickets to go and see Alison as your St. Patrick's Day gift to yourself. Why not?
Absolutely.
Especially if you live in Leek. Come on, guys.
Oh, big time Leek.
Leek is going to be the spot now. Everyone's going to be going
no
to Leek.
No one has ever said Leek this much on the podcast. Oh my God.
Is it spelt like the vegetable?
Yeah.
I'm excited. Yeah, it'd be good fun. It'd be good fun.
It's pretty town.
Well, yeah, okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, lots of fun.
Maybe
shops,
I should go.
Cafes.
What's the best, because every town I go to, I look up historical things about it because I love history. Like, what's the one thing about Leek?
William Morris lived there for a while.
Wow.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay, that's cool.
Right, we're going to keep talking about William Morris and other bits and pieces. But thank you so much for listening to After Dark. Follow us and leave us a review because it helps other people find the podcast too.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Well, thank you for listening to this episode of After Dark. Please follow this show wherever you get your podcast. It really helps us and you'll be doing us a big favour.
Don't forget, you can listen to all these podcasts ad-free and watch hundreds of documentaries when you subscribe at historyhit.com/subscribe.
And as a special gift, now don't say we never give you anything, you can also get your first 3 months for £1 a month when you use the code AFTERDARK at checkout.